Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the foreign service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on rae.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias, and together with sound technician Sergio Bosco, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Friday, June 27, 2025. We'll have news, sports, we'll have music, we'll be paying homage to an important Argentine-born composer who passed away yesterday. We'll be also sharing something we didn't have time for last Tuesday when we celebrated the so-called most Argentine day of the year. That included Lionel Messi's birthday. I've got a short documentary that I'd like to share with you from the Sports Files channel. You can listen to a feature on Mate Tea today also, okay? Well, if you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrae@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way is okay for sending reception reports if you are the EXA. This show airs on the shortwaves of WRMI on the frequency of 5850 kHz and also via internet on rae.com.ar via internet. Thank you very much for being there. Let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. Argentina's judiciary authorizes a trial in absentia for the AMIA bombing suspects. President Javier Milei to host a new Mercosur summit next week in Buenos Aires. Official figures show inequality is on the rise again in Argentina. Mexico's Supreme Court rules that child abuse crimes do not expire. A Japanese climber dies while attempting to reach the highest peak in Peru. Sports. Another World Cup champion returns to Argentine football. Leandro Paredes heads back to Boca Juniors. And these are the news. Argentina's judiciary has authorized a trial in absentia for those accused of the AMIA bombings, which left 85 people dead. Federal Judge Daniel Rafecas gave the green light for proceedings against the 10 suspects of bombing the Jewish community center in Buenos Aires back in 1994. The prosecution accuses a group of Iranian and Lebanese nationals, all with international arrest warrants and currently fugitives. Some of the accused are former officials of Iran, others are linked to the Hezbollah militia. Argentina's Congress, let's recall, passed a law allowing trials in absentia this past February, following a proposal from President Javier Milei's government. Buenos Aires will host a new Mercosur summit next week, gathering the South American trade bloc of Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Brazil and Bolivia. President Milei will lead the meeting and is expected to once again call for more flexible bloc regulations. In addition to the Argentine leader, Presidents Lula da Silva of Brazil, Santiago Peña of Paraguay, Yamandú Orsi of Uruguay and Luis Arce of Bolivia will attend. Local media report that no bilateral meetings are expected between Mr. Milei and any of his counterparts. during the Buenos Aires summit, Mr. Milei will hand over the rotating Mercosur leadership to Lula. Income inequality in Argentina is on the rise again. This is according to official statistics agency INDEC, cited in several news articles this week. Numbers show that the wealthiest portion of the population earned 15 times more than the poorest during the first quarter of this year. The Gini coefficient, which measures income disparity, rose from 0.430 to 0.435 between the last quarter of 2024 and the first of 2025. In Mexico, the Supreme Court has ruled that child sexual abuse crimes can no longer be subject to statutes of limitations. This decision effectively removes any deadline to report such crimes. The court ruled in favor of singer Sasha Sokol, who brought a case against a producer called Luis de Llano. The abuse occurred in 1984, she denounced, when Sokol was just 14 years old. According to the court, applying time limits to these crimes punishes the victim. Sokol celebrated the ruling, which sets a legal precedent allowing victims to report sexual abuse regardless of when it occurred. A Japanese mountaineer has died while attempting to climb Peru's highest peak, Mount Huarcarán. The victim has been identified as 40-year-old Chiaki Inada, according to police. She was traveling with a friend, Saki Terada, who was rescued alive. The two women went missing while trying to reach the summit, located over 6,700 meters above the sea level. Authorities have not confirmed the cause of Inada's death, but hypothermia is suspected. In this region, nighttime temperatures can drop as low as minus 30 degrees Celsius. And these are the new sports. Another World Cup champion is returning to Argentine football. Leandro Paredes is coming back to Boca Juniors, ending months of speculation. This week, it was confirmed that the player will transfer from Roma in Italy back to the Buenos Aires club, where he played between 2010 and 2015. Paredes follows the path of other national team stars who returned to Argentina's league after their triumph in Qatar. Most of them signed with River Plate, including Germán Petzela, Marcos Acuña and Gonzalo Montiel. Ángel Di María, meanwhile, sealed his return to the club where he began Rosario Central. And these were the news on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo. RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE.
Coming up, a feature on Lionel Messi that we are going to share on the occasion of our national team's captain turning 38 this week. That happened on Tuesday, June 24. But we didn't have time to play this content that day, so that's why we are sharing it with you today. But before that, we are going to play something by an Argentine composer, Argentine-born composer, who also had American citizenship, Lalo Schifrin, who passed away yesterday at the age of 93 in L.A. He was born Boris Claudio Schifrin in Buenos Aires, and the world came to know him simply as Lalo, the mastermind behind one of the most iconic melodies in cinema history. The theme from Mission Impossible. Just a few seconds are enough. Those tense strings, the pulsing piano, and instantly an entire universe comes alive in the listener's mind. That 1966 6 theme became a global symbol of suspense and style, and it defined Schifrin's career, launched into the spotlight after a chance meeting with jazz legend Dizzy Gillespie. But Lalo Schifrin was much more than a great theme. He was a bridge between worlds, jazz and classical, Latin American roots and Hollywood spectacle, popular and avant-garde at the same time. He composed more than 100 scores for both films and TV, earning numerous awards and leaving an indelible mark on global culture. Cinema, he once said, is the opera of the 20th century, and he often explained his art as the counterpoint between image and music. From Rai, Argentina to the world, we bid farewell to a master with this melody. That says it all.
Lionel Messi. 1987. Born in Argentina. Lionel Messi was born on the 24th of June 1987 in Rosario, Santa Fe. He was the third of four children in a football-loving family, and from a young age developed a passion for the sport, often playing with his older brothers and cousins, who later also became professional footballers. 1991. Joining Grandoli Club. At the age of four, Messi joined local club Grandoli, where he was coached by his father. His earliest influence as a player came from his maternal grandmother Celia, who often accompanied him to training and matches. 1993, Newell's Old Boys. A lifelong supporter of Newell's Old Boys, Messi joined the Rosario Club when he was 6 years old. During his 6 years there, he scored almost 500 goals and regularly entertained crowds with his ball tricks. 1998. Diagnosed with growth deficiency. At the age of 10, Messi's future as a professional player was threatened when he was diagnosed with a growth hormone deficiency. His father's health insurance covered only 2 years of treatment, and when Newell's reneged on their promise to contribute, his career was put at risk. 2000. Trial with Barcelona. As the Messi family had relatives in Catalonia, they arranged a trial with Barcelona in September 2000. Despite initial hesitation from the board, Messi was offered a contract on a paper napkin, and in February 2001, the family relocated to Barcelona. 2002, joining La Masia. After a year at Barcelona's youth academy, La Masia, Messi was enrolled in the Royal Spanish Football Federation in February 2002. He quickly became an integral part of Barcelona's baby dream team, becoming their top scorer with 36 goals in 30 games during his first full season. 2004. First professional contract. Messi signed his first professional contract on the 4th of February 2004, which lasted until 2012 and contained an initial buyout clause of 30 million euros. He made his debut for Barcelona B a month later, gradually increasing his muscle mass and strength to compete with older and taller opponents. 2004. Promotion to first team. During the 2004-2005 season, Messi was a guaranteed starter for the B team. In October 2004, the senior players asked manager Frank Rijkaard to promote him. He made his league debut in the following match, becoming at the time the youngest player to represent Barcelona in an official competition. 2005, first senior goal. Messi scored his first senior goal on the 1st of May 2005 against Albacete from an assist by Ronaldinho. He became at that time the youngest ever scorer for the club. 2005, senior team contract. On his 18th birthday, Messi signed his first contract as a senior team player, making him a Barcelona player until 2010. His buyout clause increased to 150 million euros. 2005. Acquiring Spanish citizenship. On the 26th of September 2005, Messi acquired Spanish citizenship and became eligible to play in La Liga. He gradually established himself as the first-choice right-winger, forming an attacking trio with Ronaldinho and striker Samuel Eto'o. 2007. Emerging superstar. During the 2006-2007 campaign, the 19-year-old Messi established himself as one of the best players in the world. Despite being plagued by major injuries, he scored 17 goals in 36 games across all competitions, reflecting his growing importance to the club. 2009, winning Ballon d'Or. In 2009, Messi won his first Ballon d'Or, the award for the best footballer in the world, solidifying his status as one of the greatest players in the sport. He won the award again in 2010, 2011, 2012, 2015, 2019, and 2021, making him the player with the most Ballon d'Or awards in history. 2012, breaking goals record. In 2012, Messi set a record for the most goals scored in a calendar year, with 91 goals in all competitions. This surpassed the previous record of 85 held by Gerd Müller. 2014, World Cup Final. In 2014, Messi led Argentina to the FIFA World Cup Final, where they were defeated by Germany. Despite the loss, Messi's performances throughout the tournament earned him the Golden Ball as the tournament's best player. 2018, FIFA World Cup. Messi represented Argentina in the 2018 World Cup in Russia. However, Argentina were eliminated in the round of 16 by France. 2020, transfer request. In August 2020, Messi sent a bureau fax to Barcelona expressing his wish to leave the club. However, he ended up staying for the 2020 to 2021 season due to a dispute over the legality of a clause in his contract. 2021. Leaving Barcelona. In August 2021, Barcelona announced that Messi would be leaving the club due to financial difficulties that prevented them from renewing his contract. This marked the end of Messi's 20-year career at Barcelona, where he became the club's all-time top scorer and won numerous titles. 2021. Joining Paris Saint-Germain. After leaving Barcelona, Messi joined Paris Saint-Germain, PSG, on a 2-year contract with an option for a third year. This marked the start of a new chapter in his illustrious career. 2022. Winning the World Cup. Messi finally achieved his dream of lifting the World Cup trophy with Argentina after leading his team to a thrilling victory over France in the final. Messi scored the opening goal from a penalty kick and was named the best player of the tournament. He became the first man to score in every game of a World Cup knockout round in a single tournament. 2023. Returning to Barcelona. After 2 seasons with PSG, Messi decided to return to his former club Barcelona, where he had spent 21 years of his career. He signed a new contract with Barcelona until 2024, rejecting offers from Saudi Arabia and the MLS. Messi said he wanted to finish his career at the club that gave him everything and hoped to win more titles with them.
面向世界.
Rai, Argentine vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, 世界に向けて Argentina.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Rai, Argentina al mondo.
Rai, Argentinian in the world.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Well, we just shared a documentary on Lionel Messi called Who's Lionel Messi? On the channel that's published by the channel Biography Timeline, which is super accurate, but is not entirely updated because it finishes with Messi's moving from PSG back to Barcelona, which was the original plan, but that didn't work out. And Messi eventually, as you will know, chose to move to Miami and join Inter Miami, that is headed by his friend David Beckham. And currently, Messi is disputing the Club World Cup with Inter Miami. Okay, folks, let us enjoy now a little bit of Chacarera. This is a track by Sixto Palavecino, which is very entertaining. I find it very funny. It tells a story of a man from Santiago del Estero who comes to the city of Buenos Aires and is shocked by the hectic pace of the city, the public transportation, how fast everything goes, how long it takes for him to go across an avenue. He's a paisano, no? A man from the hinterland in the city. A little town boy, as you would say in Spanish. But in here in Argentina, you would say paisano, somebody from the countryside, no? Do not mistake that for paisano, as it is used by Italian Americans to refer to a fellow Italian immigrant. In here, it's mainly somebody from the countryside in the city, or as seen by city people. Chacarera del Paisano by Sixto Palavecino, and after that, a little bit of tango.
Primera! Que lo han ponderado, por fin resolví. Por conocer Buenos Aires, hasta allá me fui. Y Llegando en ese retiro, ahí nomás bajé. Para donde iba la gente, yo también rumbié. Esos troles y los trenes a electricidad, mamá mía, y qué peligro son para viajar. Los autos pasan y pasan, pasan sin cortar. Me he quedado un día entero sin poder cruzar.
¡Otra vuelta!
En ese subte que dice fui a mosquetear, unas cosas como trancas empecé a pechear. Cualquiera puede pensar trancas de corral, si no le largan monedas no deja pasar. Trenes ahí en ese hoyo, como pa' no creer. Vieran, son como balazo, estos pa' correr. Eso quien habrá inventado, su paya de ser. Inteligencia de hombre, yo no puedo creer.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina, mien xiang shi jie. RAI, Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina to the world.
RAI, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentinian in Divert.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
Stories about the origins and development of tango. The favorite history of tango is that it started in the suburbs of the melting pot of Buenos Aires, Argentina. Tango is a dance, a music, and a poetry that originated in Buenos Aires at the turn of the century, about 1900. European and South American immigrants all brought their native music and dances with them. One of the earliest tangos was written around 1905 by Ángel Vilaldo. It was El Choclo, one tune almost everyone recognizes as tango. The word tango was used at the time to describe the various music and dances of the area. Buenos Aires was a very poor city with penniless immigrants coming to make their fortunes on the plains of Argentina and Uruguay. Those who failed ended up in the cities. Most of the immigrants were single men with nothing to their name but their macho pride, hoping to earn enough to return to Europe or to buy a bride from Europe. A poor, desperate male population bred crime, brothels, gangsters, and tango. With few women around, tango moved to where women could be found, the brothels. The women there could choose their clients by their dancing skill. The man had three dances to prove himself. With few women around, men learned together. It was not uncommon for men to dance with men, practicing their skills. This dance and music was popularized and moved up the social scale where it was embraced by the sons of the rich, who were sent to Europe to study or do a grand tour. By 1910, the rich sons of Argentina made their way to Paris, where society was eager for innovation and not adverse to the risque nature of tango. Polite society in Paris saw the dance and fell in love, which let loose a tango mania. 1913 was the year of the tango, and tango became an international phenomenon. As it was now fashionable in Paris, the upper class of Argentina embraced it, and Hollywood glamorized the tango with Rudolph Valentino as its most famous tango gaucho. Films, lyrics, and music developed and recordings were made. By the end of the First World War, Argentina was one of the richest countries in the world. Some of the most renowned tango recording artists of this early time included Carlos Gardel, who sang the tango stories of abandoned lovers, which became the story of tango. Notable dancers during this period included Petrolio, or Carlos Estevez, who got his nickname by being so slick on the dance floor. He would bend low at the knees, and his footwork was characteristically fast. Others included Gerardo Portales, José Vázquez, Luis Lemos, Miguel Balmaceda, and Ramón Rivera. By 1930, however, tango was out of fashion in Europe, and a military coup in Argentina suppressed and censored tango for 10 years. But tango flourished again in the 1940s, which developed into the golden age of tango. Tango came to be a fundamental expression of Argentine culture, and it was championed by the national political movement of Juan and Eva Perón, beginning in 1946. Tango changed with political and economic conditions, as evidenced in the music. In poor economic times, the large dance salons closed, giving way to the once popular smaller venues. Orchestras, too, became smaller again, and by the end of the 1950s, tango was again out of fashion. The arrival of American swing and rock and roll had taken over. Tango is really a passion play, and a tango dance ends quite often with a falling woman. In fact, the falling woman has become the popular icon of tango. It is the melodramatic portrayal of a fallen woman. Stories of tango can be about the lives of women who are fallen according to the morality of their societies. A great part of tango speaks of women who leave a man, often poor, for another man, in general of higher class. And El Guapo takes revenge by killing the woman. According to the universal codes of love and betrayal, she must be thrown away. Tango's current popularity began in the 1980s, when a popular stage show, Tango Argentino, toured the world, starring such dancers as Juan Carlos Copes and Maria Nieves. The newest surge in popularity began in 1990 with an explosion around the world. Most people see tango primarily as a dance, but getting to know and understand the music is part of knowing tango. The classic tango orchestra is made up of bandoneons, violins, piano, and string bass. The guitar is also a commonly included instrument, especially when a singer is present. The bandoneon is the key to the tango sound. It is a large, rather complicated concertina, originally developed in Germany for churches that could not afford organs. The bandoneon is a rather complex instrument, because most of the buttons produce a different note when played pushing in rather than pulling them out. Also, since the bandoneon is asymmetrical, the right and left-hand keyboards are different. It means that four different keyboard layouts must be learned. The bandoneon has become almost the symbol of tango. As the music developed, it became less rigidly rhythmic, more harmonic and melodic. Some people see tango as primarily a dance, a connection between two people in a beautiful pas de deux. Most will say, however, that tango is the music, the lyrics, and the dancer's interpretation of the music, and the sentiments it expresses. Argentine tango music is much more varied than ballroom tango music. While Argentine tango dancing has historically been danced to tango music, in the 1990s, a younger generation of tango dancers began dancing tango steps to alternatives to tango music. In the 21st century, the new generation of musicians is mixing tango with contemporary music styles. This has been branded Tango Nuevo. Argentine tango is danced in an embrace that can vary from very open, in which the leader and follower connect at arm's length, to very closed, in which the connection is chest to chest, or anywhere in between. Three things happen as the tango dance begins. First, the man signals through his body that the first step is about to begin. Second, the lady responds with a move backwards, acknowledging her awareness of the move and making room for the man by starting a step backward. And third, the man senses the response of the lady and begins his first step forward. Tango dance is essentially walking with a partner in the music. Dancing appropriately to the emotion and speed of a tango is extremely important to dancing tango. A good dancer is one who transmits a feeling of the music to the partner, leading them effectively throughout the dance. Also, dancers generally keep their feet close to the floor as they walk, the ankles and knees brushing as one leg passes the other. Argentine tango is danced counterclockwise around the outside of the dance floor. A striking difference between Argentine tango and ballroom tango is in the shape and feel of the embrace. Ballroom technique dictates that the partners arch their upper bodies away from each other while maintaining contact at the hip. In Argentine tango, it is the opposite. The dancers' chests are closer to each other than are their hips. One very important characteristic of Argentine tango is the walk outside of the legs of the follower. This inside walk belongs originally to the American tango. It is seen in Argentine tango, but it does not belong to it originally. Argentine tango is not a set step, but a completely improvised dance comprised of various elements. Some elements include caminar or walk, cruce, cross, ochos, figure eight, ganchos, leg hooks, giros, turns, contragiros, turns in the other direction, sacadas, displacements, boleos, llevadas de pie, moving foot by foot, cortes, cuts, and quebradas, breaks. Argentine tango developed a set of codes and superstitions throughout its history. One example is cabaceo, an eye invitation by a man to a woman to dance, which is practiced in Buenos Aires. The man raises an eyebrow or both. The woman accepts by smiling or nodding agreement. If the woman is not available or not interested, she averts her eyes as though she didn't see. Tango music is played in sets of three or four dances called tandas, and it is expected that one will dance the entire tanda with one's partner. Between tandas, a cortina is played. It is a short piece, about 30 seconds, and not tango music, to let the dancers know that the tanda is over. One tango superstition is that one does not dance to the well-known tango, Adios Muchachos, as it is believed to be the last song sung by Carlos Gardel before his death. There is nothing more tango than nylons. Sexy nylons lengthen the leg and are super soft to the touch. Also worn is fishnet stockings, almost a tango trademark. When tango was born, it was customary that women wore long skirts. As time went by, however, women began making openings in their skirts and dresses in order to have a wider range of motion. Today, it is customary to wear all lengths of skirts as long as movement is not impeded. Women tango dancers wear long skirts or dresses with long slits or really short skirts or dresses, usually with asymmetrical hemlines adorned with fringes and crocheted applications. The tops normally show cleavage and are very sensual. Accessories can be worn on special occasions or for shows. This includes flowers made from fabric or feathers attached to the hair or legs. Tango shoes for women sport high heels with plenty of support and two straps, one from around the ankle and the other up the middle of the foot. For the men, a typical outfit is a silk shirt and straight-cut trousers. The man never wears cuff trousers, as it is too easy for a stiletto heel to get caught. The man can also wear suspenders, vests, and hats, all contributing to the tango image. Although the 1930s and 40s are often referred to as the golden age of tango, many see the modern resurgence as the new golden age of tango. As with tango itself, or how one interprets tango and its origins, when two people step into the embrace, a truly sensual experience begins, as tango is not just a dance.
RAI, Argentina al mundo.
RAI, Argentina 面向世界。RAI, Argentina vers le monde.
RAI, Argentina to the world.
RAI, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン
RAI, Argentina al mundo
La RAI, Argentina al mundo
RAI, Argentinian in die Welt
RAI, Argentina al mundo
And speaking of tango, let's enjoy a little bit of music. Let's enjoy a classic tango track. This documentary is very interesting and you can check it out on YouTube under the name Tango is Not Just a Dance. This song we are going to enjoy is called Mano a Mano, which means even, like I owe you nothing. You gave me, I gave you back, and now... we are even, we are mano a mano. This is the most famous rendition of it by Julio Sosa, and after this music we'll have a feature on Mate Tea.
Rechiflado en mi tristeza, hoy te vivió que así, en mi pobre vida paya, solo una buena mujer. Tu presencia de bacana puso calor en mi nido, fuiste buena consecuente y yo sé que me has querido, como no quisiste a nadie, como no podrás querer. Se dio juego de remenche cuando vos, pobre percanta, gambeteabas la pobreza en la casa de pensión. Hoy sos toda una bacana, la vida te ríe y canta, los morlacos de ese horario los tirás a la marchanta, como juega el gato maula con el mísero ratón. Hoy tenés el mate lleno de infelices ilusiones, te engrupieron los otarios, las amigas, el gavión. La milonga entre magnates con sus locas tentaciones, donde triunfan y claudican milongueras pretensiones, te han entrado muy adentro en el pobre corazón. Nada debo agradecerte, mano a mano hemos quedado. No me importa lo que has hecho, lo que haces, ni lo que harás. Los favores recibidos creo habértelos pagado. Y si hay una deuda chica sin querer, se me ha olvidado. En la cuenta del notario que tenés y se la cargas. Mientras tanto que tus triunfos, pobres triunfos pasajeros, sean la larga fila de riquezas y placer. El bacán que te acamara tenga pesos duraderos, que te abracen las paradas con camisos milongueros y que digan los muchachos, oh, es una buena mujer. Y mañana cuando seas descolado muere viejo y no tengas esperanzas en el pobre corazón. si precisas una ayuda, si te hace falta un consejo, acordate de este amigo que ha de jugarse el pellejo para ayudarte en lo que pueda. Cuando llegue la ocasión.
No es una bebida, es más bien una costumbre, como rascarse. Cuando llega alguien a tu casa, la primera frase es hola y la segunda, unos mates.
Mate is a custom, says radio host Lalomir. It's a custom like scratching yourself. When someone arrives at your place at home, the first thing you say is hello, good morning, welcome. But then you say, hey, do you want some mate?
Ese mate está perfecto, ni se te ocurra tocarlo. La bombilla está requieta, no la muevas con la mano. Ya puso primero y la montaña la arruinó. La mueve de arriba para abajo, de abajo para arriba y te digo para, déjala quieta y toma. La mueve de arriba para abajo y te digo para, déjala quieta.
The culture of mate has experienced remarkable expansion worldwide in recent decades. It has been adopted by many in Europe, especially in Spain and Italy, where various enthusiasts drink it regularly. The Argentine and Uruguayan diaspora has carried mate to other countries, keeping its traditions alive by organizing gatherings and sharing the culture. Zoe Saldana, an American actress and model of Dominican and Puerto Rican background, is counted among its drinkers, and she states...
Empezó en realidad cuando yo era jovencita viviendo en la República Dominicana, que teníamos algunos amigos que eran chilenos y argentinos que iban a la misma escuela que yo. La primera vez que lo probé me sentí tan despierta.
I drink mate, I like it. I started having it as a young girl in the Dominican Republic thanks to some Chilean friends that went to school with me. As an adult, I reconnected with mate thanks to my makeup artist. She's from Buenos Aires and drinks it every day. I like it with a little sugar, and she taught me that the water should never boil. I pour the water, leaving some of the yerba dry, and I drink my mate. Mate has been incorporated into wellness and healthy lifestyle trends, and many people see it as an alternative to other caffeinated beverages, appreciating its benefits and the social ritual of sharing it. The growth of the mate market has led to an increase in related products, from bombillas, the straws, to containers or gourds, and also flavored mate herbs. Local and international brands are starting to take mate further and further. In some countries, events and festivals dedicated to mate have begun to be celebrated, educating people about its preparation and consumption, thus strengthening its cultural presence. Sabrina Carpenter, a popular actress and singer in the United States, is also a fan of mate.
Fans know that I have a very terrible obsession with yerba mate. It's an Argentinian tea. I've been an addiction for quite some.
Platforms like Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter have allowed celebrities and users to share their experiences with mate, generating curiosity and interest around the social media universe. This has contributed to its global visibility. This South American beverage is very common in the football environment. More and more sports people worldwide are drinking mate, as it is beneficial and considered a non-tropic due to its stimulating and energizing properties. Physicians recommend having it before training, assuring that athletic performance can increase by up to 5%. And this is due to the benefits this infusion, this beverage, brings both for the mind as well as the body. American actor Viggo Mortensen of Lord of the Rings fame lived in Argentina as a child in the province of Chaco and in Buenos Aires City as well. And in an interview, Viggo has shared how he started drinking mate.
De niño, era en verano, y en verano se hace una cosa, en vez de agua caliente se le mete, por ejemplo, jugo de naranja, muy fría, y le
dicen... As a child, in the summer, instead of hot water, mate is made with very cold orange juice, because of the heat. They call it tereré, and it keeps you awake without making you too nervous, like coffee. And with mate, you can go all day. In this report, we'll introduce some international celebrities who have shown their appreciation for mate, influencing their followers for and helping popularize this drink in countries like the US and also in Europe. With Leo Messi and Uruguay's Luis Suarez as main representatives and promoters and ambassadors, the football world is one of the environments where mate has penetrated the most. Influenced by them, Brazil's Neymar Jr. became a regular consumer. Cristiano Ronaldo started drinking mate thanks to footballers Rodrigo Bentancur and Paulo Dybala, with whom he integrated Juventus in Turin. He's often seen sharing mate with his Argentine wife, Georgina Rodriguez. Another footballer, Juan Román Riquelme, one of the top figures in the history of the sport in the country, has said. I've got two very big vices. One is drinking mate, is the other is eating asado.
Vení sonando, vas dibujando arco iris en la voz. Cada mañana.
French striker Antoine Griezmann, a figure for Atletico de Madrid, has also interacted with numerous Uruguayan and Argentine players throughout his career. They were the reasons he tried mate at that time. Nowadays, Griezmann knows very well how to prepare mate and does it naturally, as he were Argentine or Uruguayan. He claims that matecito gives him energy and compares it to other hot beverages like tea and coffee. Wu Lei from China, Egypt's Mohamed Salah, English player Kieran Trippier and Korea's Son Heung-min are just a few of the international footballers who have tried and helped spread mate worldwide.
Mate está perfecto, ni se te ocurra tocarlo, la bombilla está requieta, no la muevas con la mano. Ya puso primero y la montaña la arruinó. La mueve de arriba para abajo, de abajo para arriba, y te digo para, déjala quieta y toma.
But mate has not only reached the arena of football. Miley Cyrus, for example, has shared moments on social media where she's seen drinking mate, leading many of her followers to feel curious and inspired to try it. For Miley, mate is not just a drink, but also a way to connect with friends and enjoy social moments. Hollywood actor Chris Evans has mentioned mate on several occasions, surprising many of his followers. Through interviews and posts, he has revealed that he enjoys mate for its flavor and the social experience of sharing it with friends. The lead singer of Metallica, James Hetfield, drinks mate and brings his equipment to every show. The musician has been married since 1997 to an Argentine woman who introduced the rocker to this custom.
El mate no es una bebida. El mate es una costumbre, es un ritual, es una cuestión filosófica. El mate es, en el fondo, una conversación, es abrazar al otro. Por eso el mate es también intrínsecamente argentino.
Mate is not just a drink. Mate is a custom, it's a ritual, it's a philosophical matter. It's essentially a conversation, embracing the other. That's why mate is intrinsically Argentine. The expansion of mate is an interesting phenomenon that reflects globalization and cultural exchange, becoming a beverage which is appreciated in various contexts. This was Mate from Argentina to the World, a feature produced by Luis Pandini.
Te has quedado en mi pueblo y con mi canción. En tu barrio tranquilo, por las tardecitas, en tu rancho de lata solías tocar ese mate criollo que en tus labios tan rojo derramabas dulzura y un recuerdo fugaz.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mondo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
And with that, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, the international service of the Argentine Radio. Our sound technician today was Sergio Bosco, and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. Thank you very much for listening. Have an excellent weekend. Join us on Monday for a new show. Chao. Hasta la próxima.